All right, thank you, ladies. We are in 1 Samuel chapter 28 this morning. Today we're going to see a story of a man whose life went from bad to worse. It's a story, as if you've read this in your Bible or if you've heard it, it's a little confusing and a little different that Saul would go to seek counsel out of which. His life was already on a downward spiral, and it's continuing, and we're going to look at that this morning. When things go from bad to worse in our life, it's usually because we lack understanding, because we've gotten to a place in our life where we just don't understand what God is doing anymore, and we don't understand His will, and because of that lack of understanding, we make bad decisions, misunderstanding. I read this story. I thought it was funny. Maybe you won't. But there was a couple. They got married, and things were going well. And after a couple years of marriage, their marriage started to change, and they were having some serious issues. So they decided that they would go get help from not a Christian, but a professional marriage counselor. And so they go into the professional marriage counselor, and the husband's very cold. He doesn't really want to talk, you know, and the counselor tries to talk to him, and he doesn't say anything. And then it's the wife's turn, and the wife is talking like 90 miles an hour. The husband looks around, and he doesn't really care, to be honest with you. So after a couple minutes of this, the counselor gets up. He walks around the table. He goes to the man's wife. He lifts her up. He starts kissing her for like 2 minutes. I mean, they're going at it. He sets her down. He goes back. He sits at his desk and he looks at her husband, who's shocked, and says, "Your wife needs that at least twice a week." The husband goes, "Okay, I guess I can bring her in on Tuesdays and Wednesdays." Misunderstanding. Saul had a serious misunderstanding. He misunderstood the situations that were coming in his life, and because of that, he made a lot of bad decisions. The last few chapters of 1 Samuel tell us the tragic ending to Saul's life and kingdom. As you look through the book of Samuel, Samuel had been dedicated to be the king. God, they wanted a king, and God said, "Okay, I'm going to find the right guy," and he found the top guy at that time, Saul. But Saul had started to deviate from being a good king. Saul was not always a bad guy. He was actually had a lot of really good qualities when he started to be a king, but kind of went to his head. And because of that, he got proud and he had become disobedient to God, the one who had made him the king. And as we get to the end of the book, we see that now he's going to die and lose all that opportunity that God had given to him very, very early on in his life. It's a classic tale of a downward spiral of someone that history would look at and say, he should have done and accomplished so much more. But his life was spinning out of control. Now we're going to see all of those different components line up, and it's going to come to a very tragic end. See, David had tired of running from Saul. Saul knew and eventually David one day would be king because he had lost the kingdom. And so he tried to kill David on several occasions. And David had run and God had protected him. And David, in a lack of faith and probably because he was tired of running, decided he would go hang out with the Philistines. He was done. And he goes to the Philistines and strikes up a relationship with the king. And he lets him stay and David's out of the way. The problem was David was Saul's top warrior. David was the guy, if you were going to have war, that's the guy you want running things. Samuel's dead. Saul had separated from him several years before this, but Samuel was the guy that should have had godly guidance in his life that trained him for a time like this, but he's no longer there. Now, Saul is facing the Philistines. They're on his doorstep. They're within 6-7 miles, and he knows they're there, and trouble is coming. But he's not very strong, and he knows it. He knows that he's in no position to fight the Philistines. Now David's gone. Samuel's dead. The Philistines are there. And Saul is weak, and he's not ready to fight. And so he goes to God, and God's not even answering him. God had said, you know, basically, I'm not listening to you. You haven't listened to me. You haven't wanted to talk to me. And so Saul's in a bad spot. And then he makes it worse by making a very, very bad decision. He goes to see a witch. Not somebody you're mad at, okay, and you say, I'm talking about a real, honest-to-goodness witch. Now, that's bad. But as you look at the story, God allows, for whatever reason, Samuel to actually talk to Saul in this situation. Now, not because of her, by the way. God is not condoning witchcraft at all. Okay? God just so happened to use this, and I'll mention a couple things about that in a little bit. And Samuel tells him all the bad things that are going to happen, and all of it comes true to the T. Saul was a could've, should've type of person. He could have accomplished more. He should have done more for God, and yet it was over. He should have had the kingdom. It should have continued past him onto his family, but he lost that opportunity. He could have retained God's blessing, but he didn't. He should have had a victorious life, but he's not. And his life could have ended better, and it won't. He followed a path that led him from bad to worse. That is the tragic tale of a majority of Christians today. We are tempted so often when we look at someone in the Bible to criticize them and say, how could they blow that? How could they not take the blessing? How could they not just let God work? How could they? And yet, if the truth be told, the majority of us, either regularly or in small instances in our life, do the exact same thing. Because we just don't get it. We could have God's blessing in our life. We could have a very close and personal faith with our God. We can be victorious over sin. We can live a life to when we get to the end of our life that we can look back and not have regret. And yet, so often we don't. I wonder if we, like Saul, follow sometimes that path that leads us from bad to worse. As I looked at this scripture and I studied it out, I saw the roads that Saul took that caused him to end up where he did. And I want to share those with you briefly this morning. First of all, I want you to see Saul followed the road of frailty. Frailty. In other words, Saul had lived his life and done things that caused him at this moment in his life when he needed to be strong to be at a place where he was very, very, very weak, and he was in no position to stand up and fight an enemy. Now, there are many reasons why that happens in our life. I see here too. First of all, he was on the road of futility because of David's desertion. We saw in verse 1, it came to pass in those days the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, know thou assuredly that thou shalt go with me to battle. Whoa, 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 wait a minute. What is David doing there? David is, now, I'm not condoning David for going there, but the fact of the matter is, what caused David to get in a position where he'd make a bad decision, he was sick and tired of Saul chasing after him. Now, David did not need to flee. God had promised him the kingdom, and I'm pretty sure God knew that if David was dead, he was not going to be the king. But he got discouraged. But the fact of the matter is, Saul had chased him away. And so now, here is David. Now, God intervenes where David does not have to line up and actually fight against his people. But these are the Philistines. You know, the Philistines that David had already defeated before in the past. Or with Goliath. He had already stood up. But now here he is, but he deserted because Saul chased him away. Saul chased him away. Isn't that what happens? The very things that we need are not in our life when we need them because we have chased them away. David deserted Saul because the fact of the matter is, Saul had already deserted David. And this is the time when he could have really used them. But he wasn't there. The things that we need to help us be strong, so often we jettison out of our life. We jettison the Bible. We're not faithful in our church. All these things that help us to stay strong, they're not there when we need them because we have pushed them away. And it makes us weak. But it wasn't just David. It was also Samuel's death. Verse 3, now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him. Now he had died earlier. We learned that in, I believe, 1 Samuel chapter 25. God's reiterating that here for a reason. Samuel didn't just die before the Philistines come, but God is pointing that out because really, even before that, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, we understand that after King Saul did not obey God's will in defeating the Amalekites, there was a split between him and Samuel. That was it. He saw him no more. Samuel, the one who should have been his spiritual mentor, Samuel, the one that should have been his spiritual guide, he was dead, but he had already pushed him out of his life. And even though he would have still been dead, those years of influence that he could have had in his life were gone. And so now here he is. David's not there. His spiritual guide, he had already jettisoned his influence in his life, and he's gone. And now he's very weak because of that. It's always that way. Whenever we are disobedient to God, we will separate from those who should have been able to help us spiritually and help to keep us strong. David should have been there. That influence of Samuel should have been a part of his life before he died, but it wasn't there. By the way, never be surprised when someone who gets away from God always wants to blame or criticize somebody else. Be very careful of critics. You know, they're critical of people in the church. Whether it be a Sunday school teacher or this or that, or you know, something's going on in their life and they want to point to somebody and say, it's because of that person. It's not because of that person, because we all make our own choices. Somebody may let us down, but we don't have to allow that to get us knocked out of the race. But these people are gone and now he's weak. But that's not the only one. That led him to the road of fear. Now, because he's in a weakened position, he knows the Philistines are coming. Now, he is fearful. The fear he's experiencing here is a result of distance issues. In two areas. First, the enemy's nearer. The Philistines are right there in verse 4 and 5. Verse 5, he says, and when Saul saw that the host of the Philistines, he was afraid. Now, imagine that. Remember David? When David saw Goliath come out, this guy that was huge, and all the armies back there, David wasn't afraid. He's like, why doesn't someone go out there and cut that guy's head off? Why doesn't someone go out there and shut his mouth? And they all looking around, he's like, I got this. It doesn't look to me, by the way, that's the guy you want. Saul's now cowering in fear. Why? Everything's falling apart. By the way, we have spiritual enemies, and our spiritual enemies don't have to overcome us, but so often they do because we're weakened and we're on a wrong path, and now we can't stand up to them. We're fearful. By the way, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. We saw that in our Sunday school class this morning. God doesn't want us to fear. God knows that if we're strong in his might, we will fear nothing. But that distance that was there caused the fact that the enemy was near to freak him out. Listen, we all have spiritual enemies, but we have nothing to fear as long as we are close to God. That was his other issue. Because the enemies were near, he was afraid because God was far from him. Look at verse 6. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by the prophets. By the way, the Urim there, that was with the priests who were now hiding out with David. But God wasn't answering him at all. He had chased all the spiritual people away. He had chased God away in his own life because he was doing his own thing. And now all of a sudden, all the drama's happening. How come God's near? Because you didn't want to have anything to do with God earlier in your life. That's where fear comes from. Fear of things comes because we are far from God. See, the closer he is, why could David stand up there and look at a guy 8 feet tall with armor to the hilt, and David standing there probably in a shirt and a, you know, just a whatever he's wearing and a couple of rocks in a sling, like, this guy's going down. Because God was right there with him. He had nothing to fear. He did. It's like the old radio illustration. Now, I have in my cars, they come with like, what, that satellite radio? You get it everywhere, right? But you turn on a radio station. If you have a radio station in L.A. and you're driving up north to San Francisco, you can hear the station, but eventually it gets harder and harder and harder to hear, and eventually you're not hearing it. Why? You're driving away from the antenna. You're getting farther from where the station originates, and the farther you get from it, the harder it is to hear, and eventually you don't hear anything. And Saul had moved so far away from God, God's like, fine, you don't want to hear? We're not even in the same area code. Zip code. Saul's distance issues should have been flipped. His enemies should have been far away, and God should have been near to him. But that's not the way it is. Whenever we are far from God, we are going to live in fear of the things that could happen to us. Stay close to him. Then he followed the road of folly. He makes a horrible decision that many make when they are at a distance from God. And that folly turns things from bad to worse. What was his folly? Well, he trusted in the wrong. Look at verse 7. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That I may go to her and inquire of her. He had been better off, even though God wasn't listening to him, he would have been better off staying on his face saying, Lord, that's my fault. I'm wrong. I repent. Lord, please, I'm going to trust. He should have done that. Haven't others done that? Didn't Ahab do that one time? The enemy was coming, and God looked at Ahab and said, you know, he's not really there, but look it. But he didn't. Instead, he turned to the wrong. He went the complete opposite direction. I mean, that was a 180. That was a U-turn. The farther we go from God, the greater our folly is going to be. We'd have to have something called discernment. Or we're going to start trusting in all kinds of nonsense. We may not go to a witch, but we'll trust in things that make no sense. We run from the counsel of God, and we'll completely embrace the folly of the world. You know, outside of Scripture, sometimes things that are pushed as true are not true. We'll buy into what we hear someone say on the radio or what we see someone talk about on television, and it's godless and it's contrary to Scripture, but because we are so far from God, we can't tell the difference. And so now he's running to this witch. Lack of discernment. He's trusting in that which is ultimately destroying him. So he trusted in the wrong and he turned from the right. By the way, Saul was not ignorant. Okay? He knew what was wrong. Look at verse 3. For, and Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits. See, he's going to go see the lady, the one that was in hiding because of him, because he knew it was wrong. And yet he's going to go to her. By the way, the law condemned all forms of spiritism and witchcraft. And yet that's exactly where he ends up. And this blows my mind. Verse 8, and Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment and went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. Very interesting, he's sneaking around. And he said, I pray thee. Now what's that word? Divine. Divination. Read the law books. Divination is wrong. It's Satanism. Divine. Divine means to determine by magic. Wait a minute, Saul. I mean, God had worked with you. You knew God. And now you're over here divine? When we get so far from God and we start to spiral, instead of trying to reach up and get back with God, we just reach down to that which is not going to help us very much. It used to shock me when I was a young Christian working in a church and people come talk to me and the decisions they're making, I'm like, how can they make that decision? It doesn't shock me anymore. This guy's going to a witch. Give me the magic. Dangerous. And see, look at how confused he is in verse 10. The lady's like, Saul said we can't do that. You're trying to trick me. Look what he says, verse 10. And Saul swore under her by the Lord. As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to them. What? Show me the magic. Oh, no, I'm swearing by the Lord. Well, which one is it, Saul? I mean, you know, is it the Lord thing or is it the Satanism thing? The man was seriously confused. It's a dangerous place when someone can seamlessly combine the things that are right with that which is completely wrong. See, as Christians, we don't have that choice. We can't have Jesus over here and add some other things onto it that are completely anti-God. And so often that happens. Can't do that. That shows a total lack of discernment. That shows a total lack of knowledge of God. And by the way, if someone does that, and I say this kindly, that's their fault. If I ever do something this ignorant, that's my fault. If you do something like that, that's your fault because you've not gotten the scripture. When we're in the scripture, we're not going to fall for that nonsense. But whenever we're like him and we start to do our own thing, what happens is now we're open to everything. It's amazing what, look, and I'm not going to go over it, but the statistics and all the secular mindset, it's all in Christianity. Christians vote, think, decide on the same level as someone who doesn't even know God. You know why? They're not in that book. And they'll just, it all just comes in. When we trust in that which is wrong, we will start to act in a way that's not right. Just mark it down. Number four, he followed the road of a bad formula. See, results are based on formula, right? Formula is if I do this, this, and this, this, and this will happen. You know, trust the Lord with all thine heart, lean on thine understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. God says, do this, this, and this, and I'll do this, this, and this. It's formula. His formula was bad. Because what we follow determines what's produced. You know, people, I want this in my family, and yet they won't do the things that are going to help them to get there. I wish my kids could do this and this and this, and then we allow things that are not going to help them to do this, this, and this. Well, I want to have this type of relationship with my wife and husband, but I want to do it. It doesn't work that way. Actions produce results. What was his formula? Well, first of all, he was warned. Look at verse 17. He actually gets to speak to Samuel. Now, look, it was not Satanism that allowed that. In fact, the lady, just to throw this out there so you don't walk away thinking spiritism's okay, the lady was shocked when Samuel showed up. She screamed. She had her little trick and pony show. And by the way, if she was magic in the first place, she would have known it was Saul. Years ago, I don't know why we did it. I was on my bus route. I was a young college student. It was like 8. We were getting done bus visiting. It was like 8 o'clock at night. And there was like a, you know, palm reader. So it's like, let's go in there and witness to him. So we walked in. Hey, how are you doing? Oh, we're here from the church. I want to talk to you. She looked at Lay. She goes, didn't I tell you this morning this was going to happen? And I'm like, if you know all things, what's my name? Cricket. You don't know my, you don't know nothing. She didn't know anything. And then, she didn't bring up, no, Samuel spoke directly to Saul. God just said, you know what, this is a bunch of nonsense, but I want to get the message out, so we'll push her out of this, and this will happen. He's not condoning that nonsense. But as Samuel talks to him, look what he says in verse 17. And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thy hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. You know what he's saying? You followed a bad formula, and you were warned. I told you this was going to happen. By the way, when God gave him the kingdom, said, do this, this, and this, and you can keep the kingdom, and he didn't. And then when he disobeyed God, I told you this was going to happen. Now, he wouldn't have got the kingdom back, but if he would have got right with God, he probably at least would have handed off the kingdom to David in better shape than it was. Yep. He was warned, and he didn't follow warnings. Yep. By the way, aren't we warned? Whenever we read scripture, isn't that the warning of God saying, do this and I'll bless you. If you don't do this, bad things can happen. And we just blow right through it. Warnings. And then he was wayward. He was just flat out disobedient. Verse 18, because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, no, executed his fierce wrath upon the Amalekite, therefore the Lord hath done this. He goes, you know why God did this? You didn't listen. Now, I can't say that sometimes. Sometimes people come in and say, oh, you know, this happened. I'm like, I want to just jump up and I'll get on the desk and say, you didn't listen. That doesn't help. It never helps to say, I told you so. You know, you tell your kids don't do something, they come back, I got a boo-boo, told you so. Now, I tell them that, and I probably shouldn't. It doesn't help. But it makes me feel better. But he's like, you didn't listen. You decided to do your own thing. Whenever we reject God's warnings, we're going to do our own things. And let me just tell you, spiral. That's what happened to him. God just makes it so simple, doesn't he? Obey or disobey, choice is yours. Be blessed or experience negative consequences, the choice is yours. Amen. What happens? Well, he ends up on the road of fate. The formula that he rejected. And Saul tells him two things are going to happen. He says, you're going to be defeated in verse 19. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with the end of the hand of the Philistines. You know, the picture of the Christian life is always this. God wants us to live the victorious Christian life. It's the picture of Canaan. Go into Canaan. That's the land I have for you. That's the promised land. Yes, there's battles. I'll fight for you. You'll win them. And it's going to be great. That's God's plan. You know how you can tell when you're on the wrong road? Are you experienced defeats in your life? Do you walk around saying, this isn't working in my marriage. This isn't working in my family. This isn't working in my career. This isn't working. I have no peace. I just nothing but problems, bad consequences. Maybe that's God's way. And God does it to all of us to some extent. That's God's way of saying, you're not on the right path. This isn't the way it's supposed to be. Let's flip the switch. But we don't listen. Some of us are so used to defeat, we don't know what victory's like. We don't have to be defeated. And defeat is paved by the decisions that we make. And then ultimately, it's death. He says, you're not only going to be defeated. Tomorrow, you're going to die. That's it. Now, that's the worst case scenario. But why did that happen? Well, lastly, because he was on the road of failure. What were the two things on the road of failure that ultimately doomed him? He didn't have any strength. Verse 20, he's told all this that's going on, and it says, and Saul fell straightway all along the earth, and he was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel, and there was no more strength in him. And by the way, he already didn't have any strength left. He was already weak in condition. No strength. You know what we need to make it through this life? We need spiritual strength. We can't do it on our own. Okay? God gives us the power to live the Christian life and to make it, but we have to follow him. And if we don't have strength, we're struggling. Our constant life of disobeying God saps our strength. Who was the strongest man that ever lived? Well, Samson, one man wrecking crew, no army. No, he wasn't a general. He was just, look, I don't need an army. I'll take them all out myself. And he did. And yet he kept making decisions that ultimately led to that one major, he got weak in his decisions to where he made the ultimate horrific decision and then he was out. No strength. Are you weak this morning? Do you feel weak? And you know and I know when we're not as close to God as we should be. You know and I know that when we don't have that spiritual strength we need to get through things. And that strength resulted in no Savior. Verse 15, and Saul answered, I am sore distressed for the Philistines make war and God has departed from me. Verse 6, and Samuel inquired of the Lord. The Lord answered him not. Verse 16, Samuel said, wherefore there then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee? Saul knew it. Samuel knew it. He knew it. I talked to God. He didn't answer. He's departed from me. God's departed from, he's gone. Boy, what a sad place to be. By the way, that's the very end place where God is just like, you know, God, if we don't want God, he's not going to force himself on us. Oh, now as your heavenly father, he may try to do things to try to get you in line. But if we don't want him to be an active part of our lives, he won't be. Draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. But if we don't draw nigh to him, I don't want to be at that place. Saul brought this all upon himself. God did not make a mistake when he chose Saul. At the time he chose Saul, Saul was humble. Look, when they tried to make him king, you know where he was? He was hiding in the baggage. You know, everybody came to the party and they all put their luggage over there. They're like, all right, it's time to anoint Saul. Where is he? He was hiding. You know, after he found out that you're going to be the king, he went home and went back to his work out on his family's farm. But something happened to him. He started following this trail. It's not how we start, it's how we end. Let me ask you this morning. You know the trail of your life. How are you trending? You're trending up, you're trending down. When you start to trend down, that's a sign it's time to turn around. Don't double down. Saul doubled down. Things got worse and he just started making more bad decisions. Let's not follow that road from bad to worse. Let's turn it around while we can. Let's all stand together this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed.